The Outdoorsman Radio Show is brought to you by Ellis Outdoors, LLC. This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis. Hey, good morning, everybody. Alan Ellis here for another exciting hour of the Outdoorsman Radio Show. I hope it goes better than the last hour with your phone calls. Maybe some of you are awake, and I don't know. Maybe we could take some calls for the Garden Club. What do you think? No, you don't think so? You don't want to rush the season? Alan, Summers is coming up. Yeah. He is coming up with the Garden Club. I didn't see him yet, but he usually shows up here about, he'll be here in about 40 minutes or so. No? 22 minutes before the show? Oh, okay. Anyway, we were talking about a couple different things. The proposals for the upcoming hunting season, some changes in the seasons that revolve around baiting turkeys and bear, your check-in system, and a couple of other things, not a tremendous amount of interest there. There's also the waterfowl hunting regulations. Both of those are having public meetings this week. The waterfowl meeting is March 9th, which is Tuesday, and that's at Chesapeake College. The public meeting for the hunting regulations is Wednesday, March 9th at Annapolis High School, and then March 14th at Hagerstown, South Hagerstown High School. So if you need more details, give us a call. Let's see. Let's talk to Greg in Baltimore. Good morning, Greg. How are you? Hello,
good,
Greg.
Yourself?
Good. How you doing, Greg?
Good, good. Hey, Alan, yesterday when it was snowing, I got up to go to work, and there was three deer in my front yard. And one of them was a six-pointer, still had his antlers.
You know, that's the second report I heard. A friend of mine called me last night on his way home and said, I thought bucks shed their racks already. I said, most of them have. Well, there's a four-pointer standing here in the field, so.
The weather's been so weird.
No, it has. The only thing that has to do with is one thing, and that's the level of testosterone. And, you know, some of these deer breed, get it over with, and their testosterone level drops pretty quick, and they shed their antlers pretty quick. I mean, a buddy of mine, you know, was holding up a nice half of an 8-point rack he found the other day out in Baltimore County, and I've seen racks. One fellow said they found, what did they find? 14 sheds or something like that about 2 weeks ago up in Kent County. So, you know, it just varies from the end of December to the middle of March where these deer drop their racks. That's all. And I can't explain it. It has nothing to do with anything other than the level of testosterone in the animal's body. When the level drops, the racks fall off. And, you know, these deer will be starting to grow those racks here in about two more months. So, I mean, you'll start seeing them, you know, you'll start seeing them bud out. So, I have seen deer as late as mid-March with racks, but two in one day, that's pretty interesting. So I don't have any other answer for you other than that. You know, the breeding season starts usually the end of October, you know, with the pre-rut. The peak of the rut here in Maryland is usually the first 10 days of November, but deer can be, the does can be bred in mid-October, as long as the does come into estrus and the bucks are ready to go. But that can continue. That can continue to cycle every 28 days. Those does come back into heat. And when you get into January, the bulk of those deer that are being bred are the young of the previous year. Those early fawns, those six-month-old fawns, are ready to breed at 6 months. So a 2015 fawn can breed in early 2016.
Interesting.
So as long as that testosterone drive is there, and, you know, the breeding can continue into February, into March, I guess. I mean, you can see late fawns that are born in, you know, July and August. The gestation period's 200 days. So, you know, if a deer's bred in January, you know, that deer can drop its fawn in June, July.
Very interesting.
I mean, that's it. So.
And the other good note is one of the deer I saw was piebald. So that's be interesting to watch that one grow up.
Now, that's not necessarily good news.
Well.
I mean, it's interesting. Sure. It's interesting, and it's fascinating to see a piebald, but that doesn't necessarily mean that the herd is in good health. The piebald comes from a recessive genetic trait of albinism. And a lot of it comes when there's overpopulation. There's too many deer in the area, and inbreeding begins. So that's, right. You know, that's not necessarily a good thing.
Yeah, where I live at, they're small woods. I'm right above Southwest Park.
Right.
And the deer come up out of there all the time.
Well, there may be too many in that area. You know what I mean? There may be too many of one family in that area is what I'm saying.
Yes,
and that piebald trait is, like I said, not a good trait. There's some genetic damage that can come with that in the form of stunted growth, undershot jaws, deafness, infertility. So, you know, it's not necessarily a good thing for the herd.
Okay, Alan.
All right, buddy. Thanks, Greg. Appreciate the call.
All right.
Yep, there we go. That's the kind of stuff I like. That's the kind of stuff I like to hear. 410-922-6680, 410-WCBM 680. Thank you, my friend. It's fun listening to me flounder. I wasn't necessarily talking about fishing, but I was floundering around. So rather than do that, why don't we just wait for another phone call? You want to just wait? You know, dead air. You got any music in there you want to play? No, you don't want to play? 410-922-6680 is our phone number. I don't know of anything in particular that's happened in this past week or so that we could talk about, but let's see what I've got here in this stack of stuff. Here we go. All right. Illegal dumping of animal carcasses and deer poaching were among the cases handled recently by the Maryland Natural Resources Police. Here's a Charles County waterman. He was charged earlier this month with poaching geese. He was cited on Thursday by officers for the 18th of February for dumping dead geese and fish on private property. Young man, 22 years old, hasn't learned life's lessons yet. Reed Nathan Franklin of Port Tobacco received three criminal citations for littering in connection with the carcasses he left at the edge of a homeowner's driveway early last week. Officers acting on a complaint to the Department of Natural Resources customer service portal thought the fish were similar in size to those seen in Mr. Franklin's truck on February 3rd when he was charged with poaching. They questioned people in the neighborhood and other sources and came to the conclusion that Franklin was responsible. When questioned, Franklin acknowledged that the fish he dumped were caught on both Maryland Title Fish and Potomac River Fisheries Commission licenses. Criminal citations means that Franklin must appear in Charles County District Court. If found guilty, he could be fined as much as $30,000 and 5 years in prison. Franklin is also scheduled to appear on Charles County District Court on April 20th on charges that he and another hunter had 24 geese over the bag limit and that they were hunting without written permission. The maximum fine for both charges there is $1,500. And what do you think of that? Same guy, 22-year-old. What kind of upbringing did he have? What kind of parents did he have? What kind of thought processes went into teaching him how to fish and hunt? Apparently not many. Wow. Let's see. We got Chumley in Ellicott City, and then we got Mark in Towson and Rudy on Cannon Island. Good morning there, Chumley. How are you?
Good morning, Alan.
What's up?
You're talking about the deer with the racks.
Yeah.
Last year, it was early April, I had an 8-point deer at the house at
Wow.
North Park.
Wow.
And he had a full rack. It was in velvet.
Right.
He walked right up to me, and I looked at him, and I said, I can't believe he's got a full rack already.
Oh, in velvet. He'd never shed it. Yep.
I said, I don't understand that. But anyway, I seen him off and on. I had about 5 nice 8-points there all winter long. The last one, and when they started to lose them, I seen the different stages, half a rack.
Sure.
The last full 8-point I saw was on Super Bowl Sunday, whatever that date was.
February 2nd, 3rd, 4th, somewhere in there.
Yeah, yeah. Right in there somewhere. So I have seen with the does out back, and night before last, I was right before dark, I was looking down and see the binoculars, and I was above them. And I know 3 of them were bucks, I could tell. And one of them actually had, looked like points on each side. So he's already started growing his new rack.
Wow.
And, I mean, the earliest, you're talking about fawns, the earliest fawn I ever saw was in early April. Most of them, you know, they're at the house around June. Right, actually around June the 12th seems like most of them had them in that
yep.
area right there.
June the 12th, that would make sense, yeah.
Yeah. And the was up on Route 32, near the dam, and there was a small cornfield there, and it was from last year, and it was around April. I got it written down around April or 1st or 2nd.
If right.
Falling, it was a big doe.
Wow.
It wasn't, you know.
Yeah.
So, and the latest I've ever seen a rack was up off of 32, up around Sykesville there.
Yep.
And that was on maybe March. I got it written down at the house. 13,
right.
14. It was a small 6-point.
Yep.
Still had his rack from the year
sure.
before.
Well, this one that you just saw, this 8-point, did you say it was still in velvet?
The one I saw last year at
yeah.
the house, it was early April or late March. I couldn't believe it. He walked right up to me.
Right.
And I stood there and looked at him, and I said, "How the heck? You didn't shed your rack." And I said, "Well, wait a minute. You had to shed your rack. You're in velvet."
No, 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 no. That would have been a deer with testicular damage. That would have been what they call, sometimes they call it a cactus buck, sometimes they call it other things, but that deer will probably likely not shed that rack.
Well, he had a full rack, and it was a perfect 8-point. He was really nice. I saw
but if he was still, I'm saying if he was still in velvet, there was no testosterone in the system.
Okay.
Because that's what the rise in testosterone prompts the shedding of the velvet. The blood vessels, you know, shut off, and the deer begin to scrape the velvet off, or, you know, it falls off because of the increase in the testosterone in the system, because it shuts off the blood vessels that feed that velvet. And that's when the antlers become hard. Likely, that deer's rack may have still been soft to some degree, or even warm to the touch, because the rack never shed. And he may grow another rack on top of that.
Well, that would be screwed up rack.
Really bad, yeah. Yep, they sure do.
What he has now is perfect and it's beautiful.
Same deer?
He was there all winter long with 4 other 8-points.
That's
and then I had 6-points and down below. I'm near the state park there. They're there all.
I'm gonna say if that deer did not shed its rack this late in the season, even last year, that deer is either gone or there's something going on there. But that deer likely would not have had the same deer would not have had a rack this year, like a normal rack.
And as far as the pied, I've been there 30 years in this house.
Yeah.
And I've had 2 there.
Piebalds?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right, buddy, we got to let you go.
All right, man.
Thanks for the call, Chumley. Appreciate the insight. There he goes. Mark in Towson. Good morning, Mark. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good, thank you.
So how are plans for the dinner?
Plans for the dinner are going great. Going great. As a matter of fact, we just got a fella sent his ticket and his early bird special in just while you were on hold, as a matter of fact. So where's this fella from? Let's see where he's from. His first name is William, and he is from Westminster. So that's pretty good. Yeah, everything is moving along just fine. We're probably 2/3 sold out at this point. We have the early bird 3-for-1 special still going on till the 15th of March, which means that once you get your meal tickets and you donate $100 for raffle tickets, or actually purchase $100 worth of raffle tickets, you wind up with $300 worth of raffle tickets. So that's a pretty good deal, 3-for-1. And a lot of people have applied for that. We've got CVA sent us a beautiful muzzle loader with a scope and a case, an Optima V2 in stainless steel camo. I mentioned the Vortec the other day. We've got a Benelli Montefeltro. We've got a Tika T3, 7mm mag. We have several nice bows. We have a bow right now in Florida. It's a Matthews Chill, a brand new bow. We ordered from Matthews. We sent it to Florida, and Jack Nicklaus, the golfer, who is an avid, enthusiastic bow hunter, a lot of people don't know that, him and his whole family, is going to sign that and send it back to us for us to auction off at our event. So we have two South African hunts. We have a dove hunt for four in northern Argentina for 4 days. We have Brian Elder donated, Captain Brian Elder donated a rockfish or a fishing trip out of Solomon's for up to 10 passengers. We've got two or three goose hunting trips. We've got a $2,000 taxidermy credit from Creative Concepts down in Jessup on a life-size mount. We have a duck mount from Travis Taxidermy. We have a duck mount from Precision Taxidermy. We have a duck mount from Trophy Care Taxidermy. We have a shoulder mount from Jason Poole Taxidermy. We have a shoulder mount from Carter Taxidermy. We have a big mounted buck with a reproduction velvet rack on it. I can't tell you what the score is. That's going to be raffled or auctioned off. We got a lot of small stuff. We got crossbows. We've got just a myriad of stuff that's come in for raffles and donation, and you know, raffles and auctions and that type of thing. Youth bow from 3J's Archery. We got another bow that a kid or a woman can use from Deer Creek Archery. That would be a mission bow. We got all kinds of stuff, man. All kinds of stuff. What are you interested in, Mark?
Oh, brother, tax returns.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah. Yeah, that's where my head is. Right, I'll tell you, I'm interested in. I'd like to meet Bethany. We all would.
Bethany has an open invitation to go to our benefit on March 26th. Whether she'll actually show up or not, I don't know.
Yeah,
but
she'll,
I know her dad's a fisherman.
She is so pleasant early in the morning.
I know,
and a lovely voice.
She does. She does indeed. So, yep, she has an open invitation to go. I'm not sure what else we've got, but that I've just kind of ticked off some of the stuff that, oh, we've got duck decoys. We got duck decoys.
I feel like it's going to be great.
We have for you duck decoy collectors, we have a R. Madison Mitchell 1958 signed Cork black duck decoy. Madison is probably known as the premier deer, duck carver here in Maryland. When we testified yesterday on our canvasback bill, we had a Ward Brothers canvasback there worth about $10,000. We had any number of canvasback decoys, collectible decoys there. Pat Vincenti brought them from his shop and set them out on the table for in front of the senators to see when we testified. It was a pretty cool looking display. So
I'll bet.
Yeah. So.
Well, sounds great.
But I hope you can make it.
Yeah,
I think I saw your ticket.
I'll be there one way or the other.
Yeah, I saw your ticket. Yep. So, and I don't know if I mentioned this on the air. I think I did. My longtime accountant who lived right across, or whose office was right across the street there from Martin's in Westminster. We're talking about the Maryland Hunting Coalition dinner and benefit on March 26th. And Mark's going to go. You were there last year. Did you know Donald Hall?
No, I knew of him.
Yeah.
Some friends of mine knew him.
Yeah.
Nice guy.
Yeah, very nice guy and a gold sponsor, so it's all good. So, Mark, I look forward to seeing you there.
Yeah, can't wait.
All right, buddy. Take
Have
care.
Have a good one.
All right.
Bye-bye.
There he goes. Well, he's coming back. The food must have been pretty good. Good morning, Rudy. How are you?
Good morning, Alan. Fine, sir. How are you doing?
I'm good.
Got some great calls recently. I'm glad to hear that.
Me too.
Very good conversations. And
I hope so.
Information.
Let's have another one.
Okay, climate change. I agree with you totally. I think it's occurring. It's always occurred. And one of my hobbies in retirement has been geology and geologic history.
Yes.
And to put things in perspective, we as humans have been collecting weather data for less than 150 years.
Right.
But you look back at the last ice age, of which there were four, lasted 100,000 years.
Right.
I don't think we have any perspective at this point to say that we're causing climate change.
Right.
Because 25,000 years ago, those glaciers melted. And we had catastrophic ocean level rise, 400 feet supposedly.
That's right.
So, I mean, what happened? I don't know. And I don't think the geologists do either. Going back, I read a book recently called The Sixth Extinction. The author was a proponent of human-caused climate change, but she has some great geologic information. I never stopped to think about why we have these geologic eras and periods and epochs. What makes them so different from the other was major changes in the fossil record. And there's evidence going back, I mean, several hundred million years of mass extinction. Like 99% of the species on one geologic layer are absent in the one above it.
Wow.
And she says, well, there's evidence of climate change. One was caused by global warming. One was caused by global cooling. And again, humans weren't even,
right.
You know. So this stuff has always occurred. And
right.
We have all this, you know, hype about human-caused global warming. Perhaps we are. But, again, I don't think we have a perspective yet to make such incredible changes to our economy to warrant this.
Well, I agree with you, Rudy, on that one. But, you know, I think it has a lot more to do with the orbit of the moon around the sun and how elliptical that orbit is
mm-hmm.
for a certain period of time. You know, we don't know that our orbits are necessarily a consistent thing.
Correct.
You know, there may be swings that are further away from the sun that would cause cooling and closer to the sun that would cause warming.
Yes, I agree.
You know, over long periods of time. We don't know the activity of the sun. We haven't studied the sun long enough to know that there, you know, if there's an extended period of solar flares, what effect that has on our planet. We don't know what happens. Like right now, we're in a reduced period of solar flares. And, you know, there's just a great big, here's what I think it is when you talk about human-caused climate change. I think it's an arrogance of the human race. I really do. I think it's an arrogance of the science community to give us way more credit than what we're responsible for.
Yep. Yep.
You know, and the further we get away from God, the more we get, you know, into ourselves and into the fact that we put ourselves on the throne of our own lives rather than, you know, honor God and His creation and just stand back and look at the wonders of it. You know, if you don't get outside, if you don't ever go look at a mountain range or you don't ever go, you know, walk in the woods or wade in a stream, you spend all your time behind a desk or a computer monitor, you tend to believe what is in your own little world right there, your own little environment.
I agree.
You know, so, I mean, you spent a lot of the time doing the research, but I also know that you were out in the field a tremendous amount of time, and the fact that you have taken up geology as a hobby is pretty fascinating.
Yeah.
So, I mean, how do we have megalodons in the Chesapeake Bay?
And that's only 30 million years ago.
And that's only 30 million years ago. Exactly. So, yeah, I have a friend who dives in the wintertime for those
shark's teeth?
Shark's teeth, yeah. And he's had five or six of the big megalodon teeth.
Wow.
Yeah, found some nice ones. And, you know, how do we have those here? Why are there dinosaurs in New Mexico? Why are, you know, who knows all
yep.
these things?
Yep. Again, we have such a small perspective.
We do. Very, very myopic. You're right about that. So. All right, Rudy, appreciate the call, buddy. And, by the way, I have not made it onto the email list yet.
Oh, okay.
So, all right, buddy.
Okay, thanks. You very much.
See ya. There he goes. All right, we've got Fran in Baltimore, Dale in Easton. Let's take Fran's call, and then we'll do a break. What do you think? You okay with that? Good morning, Fran.
Good morning.
How you doing?
Fine, thanks, yourself. I just want to find out, do you know the best place to to catch those snakehead fish.
In Maryland?
Uh-huh.
That would probably be the Lower Potomac River.
Okay, let me write this down. Lower
Potomac River.
Potomac River.
Yep.
Okay.
Why?
Because I'm on a mission. And my mission is this. I can't stand them. But the one good thing about it is I don't have to measure and I don't have to throw them back.
Right. That's true.
And there's hardly any restrictions on these things. You can catch as many as you can get, right?
That's right. That's exactly
mm-hmm.
right.
Well,
yeah.
I can't stand them. And this will be my kind. That's my kind of fishing. So I want to know where I can go, and I'm going to try to study their habits and so forth and see just how many I can catch by the time you have that fishing thing.
Right.
Where you see, you know, people, how many people caught of this or that.
Right.
Or whatever. Yeah, well, that's what I want.
You're on a snakehead mission.
I'm serving notice.
You are on a mission. All right.
All right. Lower Potomac. All right.
All right.
Thank you.
You got it.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. There she goes. Dale in Easton. Good morning, Dale. How are you?
Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm good. What's up?
I have a question. Interesting phone call by Rudy.
Yeah, with, good.
Well, it tells you how thorough he is.
Extremely thorough.
Of all the biologists I had the pleasure of working with, he was one of the best, if not the best. So.
There you go.
So, question. You had mentioned before about proposed change in the
yes.
regulation for Caroline County. It was in the paper the other day. And unfortunately, the county commissioners voted unanimously to approve it. And I was just wondering, what is the nature of that procedure now? Is it approved by the county? Does it have to
what,
be...
What is that?
To go from a shotgun to a rifle county.
Oh, you're talking about on deer management permits.
Correct. Well, from the tone of the article, it sounded like it's... situation where they wanted to go.
I believe that's on deer management permits only.
Okay.
I think that's only on deer management permits. That has occurred in Frederick County. There's actually a bill in to allow that in, I believe, Charles and St. Mary's County this year. The farmers are saying that they need that valuable tool, that high-powered rifle, to take deer out at longer ranges on their farm fields.
Right.
And I'm not sure that that's necessarily so, but if, you know, I think the impact, I think the department's thoughts on it are is that the impact will not be necessarily detrimental to the deer numbers because farmers just, frankly, aren't fulfilling all the crop damage permits that are out there. I think they issued permits for something like 30,000 deer in 2014, and the take was about 8,000. You know, so I don't know that it'll make a tremendous amount of difference. It's to me, it's in a shotgun county.
That's a safety issue over
well,
here.
Well, it is a safety issue, but I mean, we've got rifles in Dorchester, we've got sure. rifles in Cecil, and then in Caroline, Queen Anne's, and Kent, it's shotgun. And you've got rifles in Wicomico, you've got rifles in Worcester, you've got rifles in Somerset. When you go further west, you've got shotguns in Montgomery, you've got rifles and shotguns in Carroll, rifles and shotguns in Frederick. The three western counties are all rifle. Baltimore, Harford are shotgun. Anne Arundel is shotgun. Calvert is shotgun. St. Mary's, Charles, Prince George's are all shotgun except for crop damage permits. So, you know, it's quite a mishmash, that's for sure.
Yes.
But it's like Sunday hunting or anything else. It's
yeah.
all whatever the county delegation can come up with.
Okay. Now, are those crop damage permits good year-round, Alan?
Yes, they are.
Okay.
365 days a year.
All right. Yeah. Well, the article wasn't very clear. I didn't realize it was just for the deer.
I'm pretty sure that, yeah. And the Carroll County Sunday hunting bill was heard yesterday, I believe, in the House, if I remember mm-hmm. right. But, you know, and I did not hear anything about it. I didn't run into anybody down there because we were in the Senate all day. So.
Okay.
All right. All right, buddy.
Thanks.
Alan. See you later. Yep.
Right.
Bye-bye.
See you now.
Clyde Sports Shop is located at 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne. Now is the time to get the service work done on your hunting and fishing equipment. If you've got a gun that jammed up on you or just needs cleaned or you need to replace the O-rings in your some automatic shotgun, get it all cleaned up, now's the time to do it. That's right. After the hunting season, before fishing season, that's a great time to get your firearms done. Fishing rods and reels can be serviced and repaired as well, but with the the season right around the corner, you better hurry, because once the season comes in, everybody's going to want to get their reels cleaned and tuned and oiled and lubricated, a new line put on. So, perfect time to get that done. I mean, especially if you're a bass fisherman, or if, you don't fish till, rockfish season comes in mid-April or whatever. Time to get everything in there, get your rods clean, get the guides repaired and the tips put back on, and get your reels lubricated and cleaned and new line put on, and all that can happen at Clyde Sports Shop. 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne. Now don't forget their sales coming up Friday, March 18th through Sunday, March 27th. All rockfish trolling baits and lures are going to be on sale. You can get new line wound on your old spools. Just clean them off and take them in for half price, starting at 1 cent per yard. And then there's the trolling combo specials. $89.95 is where they start. The best and most popular trolling combo is $139.95. That's a Penn 330 GT2. It's got an Andy 6-foot rod, 20 to 50 pound rod, and line on that as well for just $139.95. Shakespeare Fluger rods and reels are on sale. All the ugly sticks are on sale. And the Penn reel special this year is the Warfare, the new reel, the Warfare in size 30 class. It's a level wind reel, just $89.95. All at Clyde Sports Shop, 242-6108. That's 410-242-6108. And that 24-hour fishing hotline, which is updated every week, is open right now. 410-247-3474. 247-FISH. Alan Ellis here for Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie spray-on bedliners. Linex spray-on bedliners are rated number one and carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. Your tools and your tackle, crabbing, and hunting gear can't hurt your truck bed. Choose a Linex premium bedliner that looks great and offers UV protection, or the Linex Extra with Kevlar and paint match. And Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your trucks. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, fender flares, and much more. These guys provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex bedliner and truck gear accessories. Catonsville Linex, located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built their reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W.
Hear this week's top newsmakers and a panel of expert political analysis on Fox News Sunday with Chris Wallace, Sundays at 5 p.m. on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Paladin, Paladin, where do you roam? Paladin, Paladin, far, far from home.
have gun, will travel, reach the card of a man. A knight without armor in a savage land. His fast gun for hire heeds the calling wind. A soldier of fortune is the man called Paladin.
Oh, you got to play the chorus.
Paladin, Paladin, where do you roam? Paladin, Paladin, far, far from home.
All right, Paladin, Richard Boone. Love that show. Like those theme songs from those old westerns, too, back in the 50s and 60s. Let's talk to Russ in Perry Hall about shark fishing. Good morning there, Russ. How are you?
Good morning. How you doing?
I'm good. What's up?
I have a question. Is there a shark season in the Bay Area?
In the Chesapeake Bay Area? No, there's not. There are some sharks here, but not in the Bay. There are a few. I mean, there's not a season in the Bay. You can occasionally a waterman will come up with a bull shark in one of his nets or something like that. And there was one. Our dear friend Amy from Reisterstown, who passed away, her son caught a shark years ago at Sandy Point, a bull shark.
On
a rod and reel.
Yeah, that's what I'm calling about. I worked on the construction of the Second Bay Bridge.
Right.
And we could see occasionally, we would see some, like, schools of rock being chased by blues, and then a shark.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, pretty good-sized shark, you know, if we were up on the tower,
sure.
Which are only 200 foot high.
Sure.
So, but I was just wondering, you know, if there was a, you know, like, these were in, I think it's probably in June.
Yeah, well, that could be. I mean, you were probably looking at a bull shark, which have a tolerance for brackish water more so than some of the other offshore species.
Mm-hmm.
And that would make sense if it was up as far as the Sandy Point, and that's where that bull shark was taken. As a matter of fact, it's pretty good, like 400 pounds, something like that. It's a pretty good sized shark. Bull sharks are pretty dangerous. I mean, they're a top tier predator, and they have been known to cause fatalities in some of the rivers. There's one case in New Jersey. I think they killed four young men in a matter of 3 or 4 weeks back in the 20s or 30s. I can't remember the case, but bull sharks are pretty tough critters. And
how about in the lower bay?
I'm sure there are sharks in the lower bay. When it dumps out into the ocean, I'm sure that's a good place for it. But, if anybody wants to have just a fun shark fishing trip, find out when the blue sharks are in, and you can just go catch a bunch of blue sharks on a charter boat out of Ocean City. Or you can book a trip, an inshore shark fishing trip, which is a tremendous amount of fun. You got to throw everything back because everything you catch is not in season or under the size limit. But you catch a 5 or 6 or 7 foot shark close to shore down there. It'd be a dusky or sand tiger or something like that. And you can just have a blast catching fish all day long on chunks of tuna fish. You know, you fish on the bottom, you fish on the balloons like a bobber, you fish on the kites. It's all a good trip, that's for sure. So, I mean, if you want to catch a shark, that's the way to do it. And don't care what it is or how big it is, you know.
Good enough.
And you can surf fish for them, too. I've got a friend that does shark research. He fishes off Assateague, and he catches some pretty big-size sand tiger sharks. No question about it. So.
Good enough. Thank you very much.
All right, Russ. Thank you, buddy. See you. There he goes. Let's talk to Chuck in Hampstead. Good morning, Chuck. How are you?
Good morning, Alan.
Hey, buddy. What's up?
Not too much. I was going to call you about the dinner also, but somebody else stole my thunder.
Yeah, that was Mark. He's a good guy. Mark was there last year. Yeah, you were there last year.
Yep.
Fran, our caller, was there last year. So,
and I'll be there this year.
That's good. Yeah, I think I saw your tickets. I saw your buddy's ticket come in the other day,
yep,
too.
Yep.
So that's
cool.
Good. That's good. But you heard a little bit of the stuff that we had coming up.
Yeah.
I opened the door this morning to go out the truck, and there was a muzzleloader from CVA on my porch. I don't know when they delivered it, if my neighbor picked it up and brought it over this morning, or what happened, but There it was, a beautiful Optima V2 stainless steel with camo, camo stock and a case and a scope and all that. So that gun's ready to go.
I'm watching them. I'm making my plans of what I'm going to put my raffle tickets on or bid on in the auction. So.
Yeah, well, when you get that 3-for-1 deal, okay.
I did it.
I know. It's $100. You got your ticket. It's $100. You get $300 worth of raffle tickets. And when you get those raffle tickets on each strip, they're worth $20 for a strip. So $300, that gives you what? 15 strips of tickets.
Right.
Okay. So you've got, I think, 3 or 4 chances for the bucket raffle there, the smaller items that are there on the table. And then you've got 1 bonus raffle ticket, which is the medium size stuff. There'll be a muzzleloader on the bonus raffle and a couple pretty nice prizes. And then for every $100 worth of tickets that you get a upper tier ticket. So you've got 3 of those, and that's the better prizes. That's the better, better bows, the better guns, and all that type of thing. So that's all there, and not the ones that aren't going to be on the auction or, the card raffles or something like that.
Right.
So, but yeah, we got some goose hunting trips. We've got some, we got that fishing trip. We've got, I don't know if you want to go to Argentina and shoot doves for 4 days. There's only 50 million doves over there in northern Argentina, but, that's going to be up there, so it's all good.
A little hard for me to shoot a shotgun at waterfowl with my right side.
Yeah, I know it. So.
Hey, the reason that I called also was about the recent DNR grabbing that guy that had all those undersized oysters.
I saw that guy. Yeah, 150-some counts of undersized oysters, $146,000 potential fine. Who knows?
Yeah, but that's what I was going to say. What you going to get away with, just a wrist bump again?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, look at that poacher guy in Carroll County that was hunting on the property, on the zoo property in Baltimore City.
Right.
44 counts. 44 counts. Pled guilty to 5, got a $1,000 fine with $500 suspended and a year's probation, and then 1 year suspension of his hunting license.
Did I read right that this is the third strike on the oyster guy?
On the oyster guy, yes. Third strike. Yep, third strike. So
it's going to be a foul ball, and he'll be back out there again.
Exactly. So
now, how would the anti-poaching bill change the fines and all that regarding him?
Well, the guy in Carroll County?
No, well, that or the guy with the oysters.
Well, the guy with the oysters, the Poaching Restitution Act is only for deer.
Okay.
Yeah, only for deer. The guy in Carroll County, depending on what he was charged with, if he were found guilty of poaching as defined by the bill, trespassing and, willfully killing a deer on the property that he doesn't have permission to be on, and he's convicted for deer under 150 inches, Boone and Crockett, the provisions for $2,000 to $5,000 mandatory fine, and for over 150 inches by the Boone and Crockett scoring system, that would be $5,000 to $10,000 fine.
Now, are judges actually going to stick to that mandatory fine?
Well, that's what we're hoping. That's called a sentencing guideline. That's what the judiciary doesn't like about the bill. They don't like to be told what to do. They would sooner do what they did in Carroll County and just say, $1,000 fine, $500 suspended, no community service, you're on probation, and suspend your hunting privileges for a year. They'd sooner do that. But this whole purpose of this. Is the 1-2 punch of the Wildlife Poaching Prevention Act that was of 2012 that needs the regulations need to be implemented on that, and then this would be the penalty phase, the restitution phase, to pay back the state for taking one of those animals that has a tremendous economic value to the state. So we'll see what happens. It's in the process. We're unsure of where it's going right now. It was in the Senate this past week. It came out of the House committee. All 24 delegates voted unanimously to move the bill to the full House. It came out of the Senate committee with all 11 senators saying unanimously to move the bill to the full Senate. It got bounced around in the Senate. We're not sure what shape it's going to be in coming out of the Senate, what third reader is going to be. We'll take a look at it, and we'll see what happens, but it's all part of the process. We may have a good bill. We may have something else.
Right.
We'll see what happens.
All right.
All right, buddy.
Yep. I'll see you later.
All right. Thanks. There goes Chuck. You want to take a break before we go to Bob in Reisterstown? You sure? Why don't you do that? All right. We'll be right back after a couple minutes here.
Hey, Alan Ellis here for Bay Linux at Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linux Spray-On Bedliners. You know Linux Spray-On Bedliners are rated number one, and they carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linux Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. Your tools, your tackle, your crabbing and hunting gear can't hurt your truck bed. Choose the Linux Premium Bedliner that looks great and offers UV protection, or the Linux Extra with Kevlar and Paint Match. You know what? Bay Linux and Catonsville Linux now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, fender flares, and much more. These guys provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck like I did, the Linux Bedliner, and truck gear accessories. Bay Linux at Glen Burnie is located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Of course, call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Catonsville Linux, located 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. 410-455-0800.
W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg is taking care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833. 8410 W&W Tire and Auto.
Stay connected. Listen on AM 680 or stream us on your PC, tablet, or phone at WCBM.com.
New frequency detected.
All right. There we go. Let's talk to Bob in Reisterstown. Good morning, Bob. How are you?
Good morning. How are you today?
I'm all right.
Good, good, good. Hey, I called you last year about the deer. I'm not too far from Liberty.
Right.
And I was telling you that 2-3 years ago, Diesel was, we used to, I would sit here and brag to people about how many deer I had on the property.
Right.
And then all of a sudden I can't find nothing. And I tell you what, this year I couldn't buy a deer. Hmm. I couldn't buy a deer. My one neighbor allows a guy to hunt on his property. And he put the trail cameras out. And he said, there's coyotes up here.
Oh, definitely coyotes. But let me ask you this question.
Go ahead.
Did you, are you near Soldier's Delight?
I'm, you know where the Baltimore County Humane Society is?
Yes.
I can hear the dogs bark.
Okay.
If that'll give you any idea of how close, you know, yeah, I'm pretty close. I mean, it's down the road a little bit, but yeah.
Well, they did a lot of sharpshooting on that property. I think they took 130 some deer off of that property this past year.
Mm-hmm.
So that may have affected some of that, because I know right where you are. I mean, I know where the Humane Society is. I know on the ballpark of area of where you are. So that could have affected it. Those deer that wander in and out of the reservoir property, they wander in and around on Soldier's Delight as well.
Mm-hmm.
And you know the way sharpshooting works is those deer are baited,
mm-hmm.
and acclimated to the bait for a while, and then they're shot at night with the aid of a spotlight off the bait. And those deer, once they're baited, they could have roamed from, they could have been attracted to the bait pile off of your properties in that area, which is, I think, reasonable to assume, because, like I said, you're not that far from there.
Right.
That Soldier's Delight area is a big property. I mean, it's a big property.
Yeah.
So that may have had something to do with it. The coyotes, although DNR denies that they affect the deer population, they do hurt the fawns. More than anything, they're not necessarily going to pull down a full-sized deer, but a young deer, a weak deer, they're going to take it, especially if you have a a population of coyotes. What you need to do is listen in the evenings. You know, it's at dusk. You need to go outside and listen and see if you can hear them yipping in a pack and see if you can determine how, you know, how many there are. And that's a good indicator that if you've got a pack of coyotes or a den of coyotes, you know, with the parents and the young, they could be hurting the deer population pretty bad in a given area, you know?
Yeah. Can you trap those or not?
Yeah, sure you can. I don't know that you're allowed to trap on liberty.
No. I mean, on my own property.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I can put you in touch with guys that would love to trap them or love to come out and shoot them.
Huh.
I mean, there's lots of guys that'll be willing to do that. So
now, on the good note of everything, where I've lost all my doggone deer at, I've had more turkeys this year wandering across my property, and bold. I mean, bold. They're 20, 30 feet away from the house, walking right up past.
Yeah, Well, when they're not harassed by any reason, they can do that. They walk right up to you, no question about it. So
I was just totally. I mean, we'd sit on the patio in the back and just watch them go from the front field, and they were, I don't know what you would call them, babies. I don't know what they're called, but anyway.
The poults, yeah.
Poults, okay. I mean, there was 15, 20 of them.
Wow.
And a half a dozen to at least 10 full-size. I don't know if they were toms in there. I'm sure there was.
There's hens and toms, yeah. Yep.
And the
toms you can tell, the gobblers you can tell with the little beard on the front.
Yeah.
The immatures will have, they'll be a little skinnier looking and they'll have the little shorter beard on the front.
Okay.
But the long beards, the 2 to 5 year old birds have the longer beard, so.
Mm-hmm.
But Sir?
Is there a number I can get a hold of you?
Yes.
Or can I leave my phone number with you guys and maybe you might be able to get somebody give me a call about trapping, looking, shooting.
Yeah, leave your number with Bethany. She'll grab you right on the air right now. So
thank you very much.
All right,
have
Bob,
a good
thank
day.
You. You got her, Beth? There you go. Good deal. I hear the music in the background.